Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hello and welcome to Housewives of True Crime. I just wanted to pop on here really quick before we start the episode to let you know that this is going to be a two-parter. We don't do a lot of two-parters, but this episode ran really long, and so we thought we would break it up. However, good news is that they're both coming out today. So make sure if you're listening right now that this is the first part. I mean, don't make sure, like, you're obviously listening to the first part. So congratulations, you did the right thing. And just stick with us. You'll have, you know, almost two full hours of glorious storytelling. And thank you all for being with us. And here's to the episode. Hi, and welcome to Housewives of True Crime.
Welcome.
Welcome.
I am Tabitha. Give me Dateline, white wine, and I'll pick up your kids in the carpool line.
The next day, right?
Yeah, the next day.
Okay. And I am Gretchen. I like white wine, true crime, and in bed by 9 because I have a lot of stuff to do in the morning.
We are Housewives of True Crime.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. Welcome.
Welcome.
Housewives of True Crime.
Good morning.
Christmas
this magic
time.
Morning. Well, yeah, we all just wrapped up our Thanksgiving, except not really. We're home with our children.
Right.
It's going really well.
Thanksgiving is tomorrow.
I'm not panicked.
Yeah, I'm glad you're not. We were panicked yesterday, you guys, because we recorded our episode for Patreon and our bonus listeners, and it went great. And then we started recording this episode, and it went fucking haywire, excuse my French, but...
And we had our children home.
Yeah.
So then they're like, you know, being loud, which is annoying.
They're like, why have
destroying
you
destroying the house?
In the office for 2 hours.
And it wasn't even productive.
Oh, gosh. And I was like, yeah, I didn't even record. And so we had to wake up real early this morning because I have family coming into town. And I was like, there's just, you just know, like trying to get an hour by yourself.
Yeah. Forget about it.
No.
Forget about it.
It was not going to happen. Plus, for whatever reason, the internet is being wonky, probably because everybody's home around here too, right?
Oh,
that's probably why.
Yeah, we should take that into consideration in the future.
Yes, it's because all these damn gamers are gaming
home. They're
it
all
up
home all week. Yeah, slowing our shit down.
Taking my internet.
Yeah,
and so yeah, I mean, I am ready to get Christmas started. I'm wearing my clink clink shirt again. If you want to see it on YouTube, but if you want to just get one for yourself, go to our website, Housewives of True Crime, and on our merch section, we have stuff up. So get it while it's hot, and it's great Christmas. Well, I'm going to be wearing this one all Christmas season. But the others, I mean, it's a great Christmas gift if you're looking
for
something.
In the Christmas spirit. I watched Christmas Vacation last night. The first time I watched it with my kids.
Yes. It's so good.
It's so good. So you know, good. It's so refreshing to be like, we're kind of out of the, like, everything has to be a cartoon.
Oh, you know? It is so funny.
Yeah, it's so fun.
So my husband's birthday is on Christmas Eve, and every year we celebrate it with just a very, like, small family. This year, he's letting us, like, I don't know, like, have something different. Which
do
is
it up. Do a real up. Christmas Eve.
So guess
party,
what?
Like a Kardashian?
Well, not like the Kardashians. We're doing Christmas Vacation style.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So it'll be fun.
Okay. Can't wait.
Wait, Christmas Vacation. Wait, is that with John Candy?
Maybe no, I'm Chevy, thinking Chevy Chase.
The Griswolds?
Yeah.
Yes, that's what we're doing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm making
I decided
you know,
to
Bethany's Jell-O, but I'm making it Jell-O shots.
Oh, any excuse to do a Jell-O shot. Although totally. The last time I did a Jell-O shot, it didn't work out. But I recommend, and I just recommend maybe using good alcohol. I think maybe when they only cost $3 at the bar, it's not like a quality
no.
situation. No. And that cheap vodka, it goes to my head.
Yeah,
but no, I had a genius idea stuff. This year. Since we're going to be celebrating, we weren't going to be celebrating Thanksgiving at our house, but now we are. And I've already Christmased everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I turned my backyard into Thanksgiving land.
Oh, that's cute.
I think I'm going to do it every year. Why deal with Thanksgiving? I want to go from Halloween straight to Christmas.
I know. Okay, so I'm down
Thanksgiving
with that.
Backyard. That's what I think.
In California, you can do that. In Texas, it's kind of hit or miss, right? It's like some years it's pretty good. Although California does have its rain on Thanksgiving sometimes. But this year, do it. Sounds awesome.
I'm doing it. I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Okay, y'all, I did want to talk about real quick. We want to give our shout out to a podcast, actually a suggestion to listen to our girl Heather over at Big Mad True Crime. We actually met her in person at Crime Con, and she's a real disco biscuit.
That she is. She was a real good time. Super fun.
And she tells a really good crime. And she's much like us. She's like, no bullshit, gets straight to the point. She doesn't have the small talk like we do, but she's flying solo. So that's kind of hard to do anyways, right? But she's one case per episode, like we are, occasional two-parter, but not very many. She does talk about some crazier cases than us, like the Chris Watts case. And a lot of you have wanted to listen to that one. So if you want, go over to Big Mad True Crime and she'll tell you all about it. But seriously, she is the bomb, diggity bomb. So check out her.
If you vibe with us, you'll probably vibe with her. And I mean, that's pretty cool. She covers some stuff that like we're not, you know, like if, you know, we don't do that, like the kids and stuff. So if you want a little taste, it's perfect.
It is perfect. Or if not, you know, she does a variety. She's a great storyteller. So check her out. Big Mad True Crime, wherever you listen to us. And then we have a crazy case today. If you have not, you might have done your research before. Did you, Gretchy?
No.
No, of course you didn't, even though I told you to. But then maybe it will be a bonus, like a bonus that you don't actually have to sign up for Patreon for.
Like I'll watch this documentary and then we'll like,
yeah, then we'll
wrap it up.
It. Yeah.
Okay,
I think
yeah,
we'll do that.
I'm down with that.
All right.
As long as all equipment is working.
All right. Let's get started.
Okay.
This week's episode was brought to us by a lot of listeners who must be obsessed with true crime documentaries, because this one was in one. Like I just said, this particular case was on Netflix and it's called Till Murder Do Us Part.
Okay. Tab wanted me to watch it, but let me tell you, I tried. You have to read.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So that's not happening because I'm a girl that listen watches. I'm a busy girl.
Okay, so
I was like, ugh, this is like real homework. Yep, nope. Gots to be watching Christmas Vacation.
That's
what I gotta be watching.
Okay, so I will tell you, that was one of my problems with this, because most of the time I turn it on in the car and then I just listen, like Gretchen's saying.
Mm-hmm.
But they have this guy that we'll get into talking in German the entire time, which is actually fucking infuriating. I've been saying that word a lot. I'm so sorry. That it's
'tis the season.
I mean, Jesus. I must be on it.
Again. And the Lord's name in vain.
I know. What? I'm sorry.
Shit. Christ on a cross is wrong with you.
Goodness gracious. I don't know. Oh,
that's
it's too better. Early.
That's a good Texas girl. Goodness gracious. Okay. Bless your heart.
Bless my heart. Okay. I obviously need my heart blessed right now. Yeah. Okay. But anyways, it really was frustrating because this guy, he knows perfect English. Like he speaks better English than I speak. So I don't know what Netflix's thing was. I think they really wanted you to watch the show so that you had to read the subtitles. I don't know. They did it on purpose for whatever reason. Or maybe you're going to be biased against him if you only had to read his words. You know, it was something. But they made a conscious effort to make sure this guy spoke only in German in the documentary. Okay. I did take my time to watch it and read it. And I was actually fascinated by the whole thing. But I also was like, something's missing. Especially with the whole German thing. Because I'm like, he just spent the last whatever amount of time in prison, the guy knows English.
Okay. Well, one side note is, you know, that Netflix is kind of known for doing that with their docs. Remember how in Tiger King, the guy was recorded with his shirt off the whole time?
Yes.
He's like, they told me to do that.
Yes.
They wanted to make him look some kind of way. That's not very nice, Netflix.
And then
Don't be molding our minds that much.
That's right. And so then you have to take these documentaries with a grain of salt. And that's kind of what I thought. And that's why I knew something was missing. Right. So then since then, I went into this like deep rabbit hole of everything I could listen, read, watch. I went down every nook and cranny. And, you know, when that happens, like your mind's just like, poof. And ultimately, I do think that Netflix had an ultimatum. I think that they got some things wrong or they wanted to twist your mind a certain way. So let me start somewhere in the beginning for those of you who have not seen the Netflix series, like you, Gretch. Mm-hmm. We'll start with Jen Soaring. It's a guy, okay? Has
a guy named Jen.
It's Jens, or maybe it goes.
Jens?
Yeah, it's a German name. So it's
okay.
More like Jens.
Jens.
I think is
okay.
How they would pronounce it.
Okay.
J-E-N-S. I know okay. One other person with that name, which is weird, right?
You do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was born August 1st, 1966, in Bangkok, Thailand. He was the son of a German diplomat. So most likely he moved around a lot before moving to the United States in 1977 when he was just 11 years old. Jens attended the Lovett School in Atlanta, Georgia, where he was awarded a scholarship to the University of Virginia called the Jefferson Scholar. He started attending this university in 1984, and this scholarship was real prestigious, okay? Only 12 high school students in all of the U.S. were awarded this scholarship. Jens, well, he was an intellect, a nerdy intellect. You saw like a section of it. I mean, he was no disco ball when he was, you know.
No, I don't remember.
Oh, you don't.
I'll take your word for it, though, girl.
He wasn't. Besides the brains, which I do find attractive.
Real attractive.
Yes. But this 18-year-old, he was still a nerdy kid at 18. He had like chubby cheeks, not fully mature, still going through that puberty-looking phase. He had big, thick Coke bottle glasses, is what they call them, right? Mm-hmm. They're like thick-rimmed, black. Not someone that I would have ever taken to a sorority dance.
But you're a bitch, so.
I wasn't even in a sorority. Also,
I'm railing, like my mind is spinning on like smart guys I would fuck. Like who is the least attractive person that I'm attracted to for their mind?
Listen, I don't even think that you would have done him.
I'm thinking of someone political, so I'm not going to say. But trust me, they're not attractive conventionally.
And it's not Donald Trump.
it's not you guys Donald think Trump. That. No.
all you guys that are like, they're Trumpies. I'm like, what? Like, who? Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Where did he get that? It's so crazy.
I have no idea. But anyways, it's not him, right? It's somebody with glasses.
Oh, God. No. Yeah. Short, pasty white. Yeah.
I don't know. But
so smart.
Yes. Smart guys are attractive. This guy, I mean, listen, I'm going to get to why this other person who he would meet would fall in love with him. And that was why. So at this university, he would meet this young woman named Elizabeth Haysom. Elizabeth was born in 1964 on April 15th in South Africa. Elizabeth was also not a born citizen of the U.S. and she had foreign parents, and she also was very smart. So they had a few things in common. The difference between Elizabeth and Jens was, well, Elizabeth was a disco biscuit. She was older than the rest of the people in the dorm, which we will get to in a minute. Elizabeth, unlike Jens or Jens, however you want to say it, was fully mature. She was a woman at the time. She also had much more life on her own experience. People would call her the rebellious type. She was born onto parents that had already had kids. They had remarried and just had her, Elizabeth. Her father was much older than her mother, and by 27 years. And they had a brood of kids together. You know what I mean? Not together, but like, I think the dad had maybe four kids before marrying the mom, and the mom had two. She was number seven.
I just never get that. I mean, it's like, I was listening to Alec Baldwin give an interview recently, and he's talking about all these kids.
He has so many.
He has so many.
Yeah.
And also so much money and could be having so much fun, but he doesn't do anything. He's home with his kids. Yes. I mean, I get it. Having a bunch of kids, if you have like a farm or something, you know, like, why not? More the merrier. Nobody else to hang out with. But if you're a movie star, why do you be having all those kids? They just bring you down.
Oh my gosh, you're so mean. I think some people are just meant to have a lot of kids. Like my friend Audrey, she has a plethora, and she is just the most amazing mom. And she doesn't have that like stress quality that I do. Yeah. Right.
It's like she's perpetually high, but she's not.
Yes, exactly. I know. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So true.
Yeah, I don't have that.
I don't have that either. So three is perfect number for me. But maybe, I mean, he's got a lot of money, so he's probably got a lot of help. You know, who knows?
Okay.
Elizabeth's parents also had a lot of help and a lot of money. So maybe seven was fine for them. But I can imagine that Elizabeth probably got a little bit more freedom than probably sibling number one.
Right.
Or a little bit less attention than maybe sibling number one. Elizabeth's dad was a big executive in Nova Scotia, Canada, which we just did a case there before, didn't we, Gretchie?
We did.
Yeah. He was in the steel business, and her mother, Nancy, was an artiste. Much like Jens, Elizabeth traveled all over the world as a child until she was sent to boarding school outside of London, which was pretty far from Canada at the time. Or is still pretty far from Canada, if you ask me. Here, Elizabeth had a different form of freedom. She had, I think, more of like parental loving freedom or lack of loving freedom, in my opinion. Her school was really prestigious, one for brilliant children. And there was a lot of pressure to maintain these really good grades at this really
prestigious
school.
Like, that's what they say, like a school for brilliant children. I feel like that's like kind of mean to do to a child, to like tell them they're like at the school for brilliantness.
I think that it
would really screw up your head.
I think it's very much a lot of pressure when that happens. For instance, there's a school called Harvard Westlake in California, and it is very hard to get into. And there are people that I personally know that have tried over and over and over and started their kids in second grade taking tests so that they can get into this prestigious school. And what comes out of that a lot of times are kids that have a lot of insecurity,
anxiety
and depression, yeah, and are suicidal. So I think it's difficult, right? Like, you want your kid to be successful.
I think if they're going that way, then great.
But if you're pressuring them to do that, it's probably not the right place for your child.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Elizabeth did have a lot of pressure at the school. And I don't think she particularly enjoyed the pressure, because girlfriend decided to run away from school at one point. I think she just needed a break. Her friends at the school claim that Elizabeth was not only smart, but she was also a really good actress on and off the stage, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
She oftentimes made up stories, I think most likely to get attention. Like I said, she was a bit of a rebel, and she did not want to conform to her family's strict expectations. And after she ran away from school, her parents were very disappointed, and they made her repeat her senior year of high school. Well, this did not sit well with Elizabeth, and this is also why she was older than the rest, or one of the reasons that she was older than the rest at this dorm once she did make it to the University of Virginia. But during her senior year, she decided to explore her sexuality, and this was not accepted at this school. Mind you, this is 1983, 1984. Okay.
Okay.
And unfortunately, because of the time, and the school just had still old school ways of thinking, the rules around her being a lesbian was like, it was unthinkable. And so she
I was in school, in high school, in the early 90s, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember there were some like open lesbians at the school, and they were bullied.
Really?
Yeah, at public school. Yeah, it was really tragic.
Yeah, that is super sad. I don't remember. I don't even know if I would.
It's hard to imagine that, like, back, because now everybody is like, you
open
know,
more, yeah, more open.
Everybody's
about it,
yeah. Like, my kid came out, put a rainbow flag on my car. It's like, right. No, it's like old hat, no big deal. But it wasn't that long ago. It was a really big deal.
Yeah, and at this school, it was a really big deal. And at the school that she got accepted to for college, it was also a really big deal. And she ended up having to forfeit her acceptance to this university.
Ah.
And her girlfriend at the time also was going to go to, I think it was Cornell, and they wouldn't accept her either. I want to say it was Cornell. I could be wrong. Don't quote me on that. But it was one of these crazy great colleges. And so they both didn't get in. And so her and her girlfriend basically said, screw it. And they went on the run.
Okay.
They survived on stealing, odd jobs, and getting high. Not exactly the path that her prim and proper parents were hoping for. But that kind of lifestyle is probably not really what this intellectual disco biscuit was really thinking either, right? So once she decided that that wasn't for her, she made her way to the British Embassy, back to London, and eventually back to live with her parents. And at this time, her parents had moved from Canada to Virginia, and her dad took a new job. So they brought Elizabeth back to Virginia, and that is how we got to the University of Virginia. They enrolled her there, and now we're back to when she met Jen Soaring. These two, they wouldn't exactly lock eyes and fall in love. I mean, Jen's probably did, because Elizabeth was beautiful, but Elizabeth thought nothing of this dorky kid with an arrogant attitude. Jen's
she
came
was
off
a lesbian, right?
Well, I guess she wasn't anymore.
Okay,
she decided.
Bi.
Yeah.
Okay. It was a phase. Okay.
What? Well, yeah. Well, maybe she is. I don't know. You could tell me what you think, because the story gets crazy. So anyway, she she kind of was put off by Jens because he was kind of snarky and he came off arrogant and like he was the smartest guy in the room, because he probably was the smartest guy in the room. But that kind of behavior is not attractive either.
Oh, no. Asshole is not attractive.
No.
Just smart. Smart gentleman. That's hot.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. And Elizabeth, you know, was like, that's not my type. However, after talking to Jens for a few months, Elizabeth grew fond of his differences and his poetic romanticism. The more they spoke, the more the two got along. And it also helped that they were both foreigners with families that were foreign. Their families lived, you know, in the United States. Now, they had a lot to talk about. Jens was enamored with Elizabeth. I mean, she was tall, she carried herself well, and she had this like very beautiful accent. She was rebellious. She was kind of like everything that he probably wished he was, but he wasn't. He was kind of insecure. She did hate her parents, and she talked about it a lot with Jens. And Jens would also divulge to her that he didn't particularly like his dad. His dad was a prick, and he had always wished that his mother would divorce his father, but knew that they only stayed together because of him. The two connected on that pretty deeply, and they connected on other things in a real deep way also, which we know because Jens kept every single letter that the two wrote to each other, which is also, I mean, I guess I kept letters of boyfriends back in the day.
Not me.
Not you. You just trashed them. They wrote very wordy letters to each other. They would express their desires, their love in poetic, somewhat Shakespearean way. Some of these letters and deciphering them were way over my pay grade.
Weren't they like hanging out? I mean, why would you send a letter? Like send a letter?
I don't think they sent a letter. I think they just handed it. They did send letters occasionally. Like I think Elizabeth or Jens went on vacation over Christmas and they did send a letter. You know, there was like long distance calling at the time, so you're probably not picking up the phone if you're halfway around the country or something like that. Like,
I guess if you didn't have a cell phone to look at all the time, you'd be like, sure, give me a letter. I got time to read it.
100%. Listen, you wrote letters to your friends in high school.
I hope they've all burned them.
Listen, it's kind of funny because I did think about this because, listen, letter writing is no longer, right? I mean, it's now, it went from letter writing to email writing. And now I don't think people really write
text
emails. Yes, it's like text and DM. We went from long form to
email is
form
for DocuSign.
No, that's like, it. I don't think people write emails anymore. If they do, I mean, it's just for business purposes, really only, right?
Yeah.
Like, although you guys, when we get emails from y'all,
oh,
it is so sweet. And I
just kidding,
actually,
we
read them and we love them, but they also are mostly short because we are just.
Oh, yeah, they're always short.
We are just that kind of people now. We like short form content only. Mm-hmm. Embrace new beginnings. What a better way to start off 2025 than to learn a new language. I got Rosetta Stone over a year ago and have really enjoyed learning a couple different languages. Y'all know that when I went to Japan, I was learning Japanese. And now that my daughter is taking French in school, I am learning French through Rosetta Stone. It's amazing. It's been around for 30 years, so it is really the most trusted online tool to learn a new language. They have 25 different languages to choose from: Spanish, French, Italian, German, Japanese, Dutch. I mean, if you name it, they probably have it. I think that it's amazing, and you should think about doing this for your New Year's resolution too. It's convenient and flexible, and the value is unheard of. You get a lifetime membership for all 25 of those languages. Start your New Year's off with a resolution that you can reach. Today, Housewives of True Crime listeners are going to be able to take advantage of this New Year's special from Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your New Year's offer at rosettastone.com/today.
Listeners, every year around this time, I resolute I'm going to get grown-up stuff done, like get that colonoscopy over with that my doctor's been bugging me about, get my affairs in order, like making a will. And why is it that a will seems to be more daunting than the colonoscopy? Well, it doesn't have to, because trust and will makes creating your will easy, like lounging on the couch easy. The website is really simple to use and the process is straightforward. Each will or trust is state-specific, legally valid, and customized to your needs. So for my family, my main concerns are guardians for my children. Whether your main concerns are your care wishes, your final arrangements, or power of attorney, Trust and Will has you covered. When maneuvering through the process, if you have any questions that stop you in your tracks, there is actually live support available through phone, chat, or email. Trust and Will has earned thousands of five-star reviews from Trustpilot. So check one of your goals off early this year with Trust and Will. Protect what matters most in minutes at trustandwill.com/HTC and get 10% off plus free shipping. That's 10% off and free shipping at trustandwill.com/HTC. Listeners, is your child struggling with a specific subject? Do you want to help set them up for success? IXL Learning is an online learning program that enriches your homeschool curriculum. It offers practice in math, English, language arts, science, and social studies while adapting to each child, meeting them where they are. Plus, IXL encourages students to be curious and empowers them to choose how they learn. In my house, my daughter could not wrap her head around ratios in her sixth grade math class, and I was not much help except for that I put her on IXL and got her set up to do the tutorial on ratios, and it was the boost she needed. IXL is super simple like that because everything on IXL is organized by grade, subject, topic, and subtopic, making it simple to find activities for the exact skills you are covering. IXL is trusted by 15 million students worldwide and has proven to improve performance in over 75 scientific research studies. So make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and Housewives of True Crime podcast listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
All right. So over just a few months, Jens would lose his virginity to Liz and fall into a deep desired love for her. Liz, from her letters to Jens, were not as obsessive, but she does express her love to him also. Her letters are different. She lets him know that she is an independent woman and one who has fucked over men before. For instance, she wrote this, Jens, I hated my love for you for a long time. I hated myself for discovering vulnerability. But as the weeks passed, I began to understand. I had always believed that I made men fall in love with me so that I could take out all the hatred I felt for them by humiliating them. I despised their cheap lust and their easy passion. And in the end, I made them hate themselves for loving me and the torture I inflicted. I would make a man humiliate himself to obtain me. Then I would give him the best fuck he's ever likely to get and then walk out.
That's twisted.
I know. Especially for like a young 20-year-old, I was like, oh, who's going to like me today?
Oh my
God. I was not like that.
No, that's very confident.
Yes. So I can imagine being an 18-year-old boy like Jens, who had never had sex before or even probably liked a girl this much. This was thrilling and exciting to be the one that like she fell for. Right. And he liked it. He loved everything about her. But there was one thing that he didn't particularly care for. And that was that Liz used drugs. She denies that she ever did hard drugs. But there are accounts from Jens and her friends that say that Elizabeth dabbled in heroin. I don't know how you function and use heroin. I've never done it. But maybe there's people that like can dabble in it and still function in society. I don't know. I just know that I see a lot of like druggies on the side of the freeway.
I don't know about the heroin. I never did anything with needles. That's gross. But I'm scared. I was like 16 when I got my ears pierced.
Because so you already had needles. A bad experience with that other like weight loss shit. So I'm not doing needles.
Okay. But I got over my fear of needles when I went through
infertility
in vitro. Yeah. That's why I was able to do the semaglutide, which clearly did not work for me. But anywho, I know that people, there is a way to function on heroin because I have read about like a lot of the models would do it. And you know what they would do? They would do it like in between their toes. So they wouldn't have the track marks.
Yeah. Yikes. Okay. So then it.
So I think there's a way to like microdose.
Yeah.
Heroin. I don't recommend.
I do not recommend.
That's a bad one.
Okay. So according to Jen's and one of Elizabeth's friends, she did have this outside group that she hung out with outside of school that would supply her, maybe her micro dosing of heroin. I'm not sure. That is all alleged, but I did hear it from multiple sources. So one weekend at the end of March, these two lovebirds decided to go to DC for the weekend. They rented a car, got a hotel room to get away. When the two returned to school the next week, Elizabeth would be given devastating news. Her parents' friends found her parents, Nancy and Derek Haysom, on April 3rd, murdered in their home. Nancy and Derek had been brutally murdered. At the scene, their dinner plates were still on the table. Their vodka glasses were still sitting there full. And Derek was found laying in the living area, stabbed to death over 36 times with like a deep slash through his neck. And Nancy was in her nighttime robe and was found in the kitchen on the floor with some similar throat slash and multiple stab wounds. Not as many as Derek, but I think like 6. There was no sign of forced entry. Actually, the front door was locked and nothing of value was taken from the home. So the killing was definitely intentional. Someone had it out for these two. Police started, you know, immediately investigating. And by the way, but by April 3rd, they thought that they had been dead for a few days. Like the blood had already started like drying up, you know?
Okay. I'm just imagining that this is like somebody that they knew killed them. Like, and it's probably has something to do with, you know, Jens and the
Elizabeth.
Hooch. Yeah. But
you think, I don't know why.
I'm just saying that if you kill someone, you know, I recommend doing it, you know, quick and not being extra because that is the first sign. It's called overkill. And right away, they're like, OK, who was mad at them? This is not random. Take shit. Don't just mess up the drawers. Take shit.
They didn't even mess up the drawers. They just kill and go.
You're fucked.
Yeah. So police start investigating the crime scene and saw that around Nancy, there was smeared blood, like somebody had kind of like tried to wipe it up for a minute. And then they probably figured out that they know that that blood's just going to keep on coming.
It's not going to happen. Yeah, that's awful.
There were bloody tennis shoe prints on the driveway. There was bloody sock prints on the carpet. And there was blood in the drain of one of the bathrooms and one unidentified hair. Both Nancy and Derek had very high blood alcohol levels at 0.22, which I think like driving is like 0.08, right?
Oh, no, you're wasted at point at.
Oh,
yeah.
You're like seriously wasted.
Yeah.
And the vodka bottle had some fingerprints on it. DNA was obviously not used in 1985, or if it was definitely like nothing like we have today. They relied mainly on like fingerprints and blood analysis at the time. They did find blood at the scene that did not match the Haysums. They found type O blood, type A blood, type AB, which, and B. So, I mean, I feel like they went through the whole gamut of blood types, but I think type B and O were not the Haysums' blood types.
Okay.
Also, type O is the most common blood type, if you did not know this.
Whatever. Yeah.
It's like 40% of the population has type O. Are you type O?
I have no idea what type I am.
You don't?
No.
Well, they told me when I had my kids, I'm type A.
I'm sure they told me too, but I don't remember.
You don't remember. Okay. On April 8th, these investigators, you know, they got some of the forensics back, but not that much, right? So at this point, they question Elizabeth and they think, you know, the murder took place sometime over that weekend that they were in DC. And so she said, no, my boyfriend and I, we rented a car. We drove to DC. We stayed at the Marriott. We weren't even in town when the murders happened. And at this point, you know, all the data hadn't been processed. So they took her word at face value. Elizabeth that year finished school. And then the two of Jens and Elizabeth went off to Europe for the summer. They came back to school again and started the school year. But by October, the police were getting a lot of pressure to find out who did this. And when an FBI profile came back about the murders, the FBI wanted to question Elizabeth even more. The profile came back as being most likely a woman with a shoe size of 7 or 8 in women's.
Yeah.
They also looked into Elizabeth's rental car, and the amount of miles put on that car during that weekend were way more than going from school to DC and back. They questioned Elizabeth about this obsessive driving around DC, and she said, you know, we just got lost a lot.
Dude, that could F me in the 80s.
I know. I was thinking the same thing. I was like, dude, I get lost now. Seriously. And I have ways, you know, like,
oh my God, we're just talking about how, like, the driving now that it gets dark at like 4:30.
Oh my gosh. I
go to the same places where I always go and I pass it.
I know.
Turn around all the time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I did the same thing. So I was thinking the same thing when I was researching this. I was like, dude, I would be the like 600 miles around DC.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, what? Like, no, seriously, I got lost that many times. I went on so many damn freeways. I didn't know. But when they looked at it, the distance was pretty exact from like the school to DC to her parents' house, back to DC, back to school. That the miles added up almost exactly. So they asked Elizabeth and Jens for their fingerprints and their blood samples to eliminate them as suspects. Elizabeth agreed, but Jens said he would have to ask the German embassy because his dad, you know, was a diplomat. And he never did. He never turned over his prints or blood. Instead, both him and Elizabeth fled the country. And according to an article in the New York Times, Jens left this note behind for the investigators. Now I'm going to do a Jens accent. I assume that especially you, Mr. Gardner, who is one of the investigators, will be very excited to know, which is why I hate to disappoint you. Well, that's not exactly true. I suggest that you continue your investigation as before. Undoubtedly, you will find whom you are looking for. As for me, I am afraid you must remain, as Officer Reed put it, only 99% sure of my innocence. From what Liz has told me of what you discovered at Loose Chippings, which is where they lived, Loose Chippings, I can only say that I am incapable of such thing. I do not have many friends, but I think they will substantiate this and my long-standing dissatisfaction with my life here. Okay.
Okay. You don't need to feel like financial wellness is impossible. Acorns gives you small, simple steps to get you and your money on track. What I love about Acorns is knowing I am doing something proactive for my future. And it's not a time suck because basically Acorns does the hard part for you so you can give your money a chance to grow. So head to acorns.com/clink or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid client testimonial. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/clink. Lady listeners, could your daily routine be full of hormone disruptors? It sure can. You know, there are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now, in our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, and they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the natural hormonal changes our bodies go through. Perimenopause, menopause, and while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean we have to suffer through it. The good news is that we don't have to suffer through it anymore because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier, and that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony is a phenomenon. Women can't stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds, y'all. Hormone Harmony has been part of my routine in 2024 and will continue to be in 2025 because, simply put, it makes me feel better. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use code CLINK at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code CLINK for 15% off today.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for
in Dax's domain. We see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
So Liz and Jens were on the run.
I mean, that's like a real catch me if you can.
It is, right?
Yeah.
And that's a weird letter.
Yeah.
I thought so too. But these two, they did. They like hopped ship. They went to Europe first. Then they went to Thailand where they obtained a bunch of fake Thailand. IDs. And because, you know, that's where he was born, right?
Right. Yeah. But Bangkok.
Is that what it's known for? Fake IDs?
Bangkok is like crazy, right? There's like Bangkok and then there's Thailand. Like everything else. That's what
Oh, really?
Say.
You've been there. So I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy there at Bangkok.
There's a lot of cocks being banged.
Bangkok? Yeah. All right. So they get all these fake IDs and they go to Russia after that. And then they end up back in England where they would use these fake IDs to get a bank account and even get this like check guarantee card where they would buy stuff with checks that was guaranteed. I guess these like particular, I don't know if they have this anymore. I can't imagine they do. But I guess these checks were guaranteed, but they were just writing them. They would buy stuff, take it back then. That same day, get the cash for the products, and then the checks would, you know, not clear the bank on Monday. I'm pretty sure a lot of people probably did this in the 80s and probably early 90s, but they made thousands of dollars doing this. Mm. It was pretty savvy, but it was also like totally illegal.
Fraudulation, screwing over small businesses. I don't like it.
I don't like any of it, but. I don't know. I don't know why they did that. I mean, I do know why they did that.
Yeah,
but
they did it for money. That's why they did it.
I know, but couldn't they just get a job?
Well, you know, some people, jobs aren't working for them.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure these two like nerdy
They're
kids
smart.
Could have
it's
got
hard.
A job.
It's really hard and fortunate, right? When there are smart people, you know?
That
the two of
things.
Us have to put our heads together. And like all of our vitamins need to have gotten took and everything in us just to get this little show going
know,
on. Okay. Like a lot. A smart person could get it together in like they don't even have to try.
It might be true.
Yeah. So I'm just saying it's unfortunate to waste your talent. Go to work.
I know, right? Go to work. Like, don't steal shit.
Yeah.
It didn't work out for them anyways, because somebody thought right away that they looked suspicious. And so this woman at the store called the police and said, these two look suspicious. And
they came? That's amazing.
Well, you know, it was England, not Los Angeles.
Okay.
And so they came, and maybe also you don't really have to have like a warrant to search because they found the fake IDs and they figured out who Elizabeth and Jens really were. And they ended up phoning the police in the United States, and they questioned if they knew who these people were. And they said, yes, we do, actually. And they said, are their parents happen to be dead? And they said, yes, they are. And so they said, okay, let's come on over and see what in the heck is going on. So the investigators flew to London from Virginia, and they questioned both Elizabeth and Jens about these murders. Jens claims that he requested an attorney. He was never given an attorney. And after 2 days, he made a statement. He says he made the statement after they basically told him that Elizabeth was going to get the electric chair. And so Jens confessed. His confession, unfortunately, was not recorded. It was just written down. And this is what Jens said. Jen says that he and Elizabeth talked about her parents and how much she despised them. And I will read you some excerpts in a moment regarding like her thoughts about her parents. But he tells them that while they were in DC, they came up with this plan that they would go buy some movie tickets and to like pretend that they were at the movies. Elizabeth would go to the movies, but Jens would drive down to Virginia while Elizabeth would stay back as the alibi. He says he showed up to the Haysom's home where Derek answered the door, let him in, and they had a couple drinks together. He said he and the Haysom's sat at the dinner table drinking, and then they began to argue. They threatened to have Jens expelled from the University of Virginia if he kept seeing their daughter. He says he got up to leave, but as he got up, Derek slammed him against the wall where he hit his head. Jens said then he took up a knife and struck at Derek's throat, opening up the vein. Derek then yelled, God, you must be crazy, man. Then Nancy came in with her own knife, and Jens wrestled it away from her. He claims Derek and Nancy were coming at him at this point together, and he slashed Nancy in the neck too, and then let go of her. He lost his glasses in the struggle, and then he went back to fight Derek a little bit more and even got struck in the hand with the knife. The next thing Jens recalled was tossing tableware, his clothes, and the two knives into a dumpster at the end of the road. He didn't notice until then that he cut his hand. He went back into the house in his socks so that he wouldn't have footprints in the house. He wiped away any fingerprints and blood, which he swirled the stains around Nancy Haysom to obscure his footprints. He washed his hands, bound one hand with a towel, and then wrapped himself in a sheet, turned out the lights, and went back to Georgetown to meet Elizabeth after she went to see the Rocky Horror Picture Show. So that was what they wrote down of his confession.
Well, just him.
Just him.
Yeah, just him. Okay.
So it sounds real damning, in my opinion.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty bad.
It went from catch me if you can to you caught me.
Until you got me, until I'm going to just tell you what happened.
Yeah.
I want to read one excerpt from a letter that Elizabeth wrote to Jens about her parents real quick. She says, "My mother went to a hair appointment 3 days late. My father and I cut down cedars for Christmas presents. Would it be possible to hypnotize my parents, do voodoo on them, will them to death? It seems my concentration on their death is causing them problems. My father nearly drove off a cliff at lunch. He nearly got squashed by a tree when he got home, and he keeps falling over. And my mother, drunk, fell into the fire. I think I shall seriously take up black magic. ... We can either wait till we graduate and then leave them behind, or we can get rid of them soon. My mother said today that if some accident befell them, she knew I would become the worthless adventurer. More maternal acumen." She uses these real big words.
She does. But basically, she's just one twisted bitch.
Totally. So this is just many, like one of many letters that explained like her disdain for her parents, right? A lot of these letters back and forth, which the investigators would find, were like just both of them kind of talked about how they just did not like their parents, either of them, right? Jens would talk about his father as a prick, and she would hate both of her parents, like with a passion. Well, this confession from Jens basically sealed the deal for the investigators. They didn't really need to do any more investigation because they had a confession. From here, both Elizabeth and Jens were given psych exams in England. Elizabeth was diagnosed with borderline personality disorder. And according to the New Yorker, Jens was diagnosed with delusional disorder, which I'm not really sure what that means. I could have looked it up, but
I'll tell you what it is. He's delusional for this older hot chick that uses sex as manipulation, which I have said it before. I will say it again. We, you know, teach our daughters to look out for controlling behavior and all that stuff. You got to be teaching your sons, look out for a chick, especially if she's a little older and especially if she's very attractive, that uses sex as manipulation, because those are the ones that will get you to be doing the murdering for them. And then they will sell you up the river when the police come and knock in.
True.
They'll walk away and you'll spend your life locked up. I don't know how I'm going to have that chat with Wyatt.
Yeah, that chat is... It has to be at a certain time.
Let me tell you about life, son.
I know. All right. I am going to stop here because I want to get more into what happens at the trial and how the two, there's a lot more left to this story that I want to tell you all about, but I don't want to have to rush it. So we are going to make this a two-parter, but guess what? We're dropping it today. So all you have to do is go to the next episode and you will get the rest of this case through the trial and where we are today. And it also is pretty fascinating, a case in itself. So just, you know, go to the next episode and listen now. And also just have yourselves a fabulous week. If you want to listen to the second part later, you can do that too. Clink, clink.
Clink, clink.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.